Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Thank you.
Hello, welcome to episode 143 of Getting It Out podcast. That was Omnivortex out of Helsinki, Finland. The song is called Barren, and it's off their upcoming record, Diagrams of Consciousness. It comes out November 20th on Concord Music Company. That's the label. Like I said, they're from Finland, and it's, well, you heard it. It's a little bit progressive, a little bit of death, a little bit of black, all sorts of metals, right? At least in the music industry. Yeah, I don't know. I found it. I was going to play a much more well-known band here to start things off, but I thought, I don't know, this seems more interesting. Not because it was better, but just because you guys might not know them. I didn't know them until right now. I think they got a cool sound. They got an album on the way. Yeah, let's play this. Let's play these guys. So Omnivortex, be on the lookout for that. Diagrams of Consciousness out of Finland. Technical death metal, if you want to simplify it. And that's weird to say that simplifying something would be called technical. But you know what I'm saying. Maybe you don't. And that's okay too, because I usually don't know what I'm saying either. All right, so what's happening on this episode? I got a repeat guest. That means I've had this guy on before. His name is Jim, and he plays guitar for the band Sick Bay out of New York. I was going to say New York City. It rolls off your tongue like that, but it's not New York City. He said he's like an hour north of New York City, so it's New York State. New York's a whole state. How about that? We don't think of it that way, do we? And New York, I think New York, no, I'm thinking about Florida. Which one has more cows? How about that? Let's do some, is this science? That's not science. Is that geography? Definitely not geography. I don't know. Which state has more cows? How about that? Is that, I don't know. What subject did we put that under? Is that like social studies? I don't know. Who has more cows? Let's see if Google knows. Hey Google, who has more cows? Florida or New York?
Here is information from Beef 2 Live.
That didn't tell me anything. How many cows does Florida have?
Here's a summary from Florida Beef Council. There are more than 886,000 head of cattle and 15,000 beef producers throughout Florida. Currently, Florida ranks 13th in overall cattle numbers nationwide.
Okay, that's not bad. Hey Google, how many cows are there in New York?
1,450,000, according to some information I found on Beef 2 Live.
That seems like a lot more. I don't know. I can't remember what the Florida numbers were, so somebody report back to me about what I just reported to you and get me up to speed on the cattle number in New York and Florida. Don't do that. I don't care. Anyway, so I don't know how we got here already, but me and Jim were talking about Sick Bay and their new record, Death's Cold Grip. It just came out on, I want to say, October 9th, so a week ago. If you haven't checked that yet, check that out yet. Hopefully, we can convince you to do so. So let's do it. Let's get into the podcast.
Yeah, what's good, all you bitches and bitches? It's the illustrious Hot Dog back at it again with another podcast intro. He said, "Oh, you want to do a podcast intro for the Getting It Out podcast?" I said, "Oh shit, I gotta write a rap first, don't I?" He said, "No, you don't gotta write a rap first. It's a hardcore podcast." I said, "All right, I think I can maybe make that happen. Let's see what we can do. Kick it. Make family out of friends. Make friends out of enemies. Peace to my family. Make friends till they bury me. All the places we've been, we're never sitting it out. We be getting it in. Where you getting it out? I said all the places we've been, we're never sitting it out. We'll be getting it in. Where you getting it out? Get in and out. Alright motherfuckers, you're in the right place at the right time. Rest in peace, J Money, and LFTW forever."
Okay, so here it is. Getting It Out podcast, episode 143. It's a very sad moment. I just finished the 12th Yuengling Hershey's chocolate porter that I've had. I guess it's been a week. Maybe only 6 days, but that's okay. That's all right. Two a day, right? It's a beer that I had while watching Slayer this time last year. Maybe it wasn't this time last year. Yeah, it was this time last year. It was about November last year. I was at a Hershey Park, the Giants Center, whatever it's called, the Giants Stadium. It's not that. All right, maybe that doesn't make sense if you don't live around here. It's not that it's a Giants Stadium. It's that it's named after the grocery store Giant. So it's the Giants Center, I think. And since it was Hershey's, they had Yuengling's Hershey Chocolate Porter on tap. And I had one of them, and I thought, oh, this is quite delicious. Even though I don't want to like things by Yuengling, because apparently Yuengling is owned by people that back old Mr. Trump. And whatever, I can't resist, though. I like this beer, so I bought a 12-pack, and it's nice. It's the only thing that I'm thinking I like about winter. And I know somebody out there is going to be like, hey, man, that's bullshit. There's way better chocolate porters out there. And I, you know, here's the thing about that. I know that, you dumb fucks. I know that. I'm well aware of it. But you know what? They are like three times as expensive as this thing. So for this price, for these beers, I'll take it. All right, what else? What else do you want to know about the beers? Okay, so since that one's done, I'm going to have a DC Brow Joint Resolution Hazy India Pale Ale. It's okay. For a hazy IPA, it's just all right. But it could be better. I wish it were better, but it's fine. It'll do. So there, that's what's happening now. I hope you care. Actually, I hope you don't. I hope you just had to listen to me talk about cows and then listen to me talk about beers. And I hope you're like straight edge vegan or something, because maybe those things would draw your ire. Maybe not, though. Did I report the big news to you yet that the Philadelphia 76ers hired Doc Rivers? I think I did. I think I went over that. What else don't you care about that I can talk about on here? I'm trying to listen through my entire CD collection. This is a fool's errand, as they might call it. Just moving stuff back in from storage into my house as this renovation is finally wrapping up. And I thought I should do this. Actually, my wife suggested it, and it's a great idea. It's also an awful idea. But it's a good way to go through the collection and purge the unnecessary CDs. Like I started a spreadsheet, as is necessary when you listen to when I listen to music now. Apparently, I started a spreadsheet and I put a purge section in there, and I'm putting a little X if I find the CD to be purgeable. So far, it's crap that people pretend to like. Farside. Remember that band? They were on Revelation Records. Well, here's a trick with them. They suck. But I have their CDs for some reason, because I just liked collecting things and I thought everything was cool. I've got the most forgiving taste. You might have found that on this podcast, by the way. I like everything. But the CD collection is out of control. I don't need the Natchez Shakers. Do you know that CD? It came out on Thorpe Records. I don't need that one. I don't listen to that. I don't need Transition. Do you know what that band is? They got this CD called Spine. And it was on SST, so I thought it's got to be good. It's not. How about SWA, Evolution? It's like a greatest hits. That's an SST Records CD too, and it sucks. And I still keep these things. I carry them from place to place to place. You ever heard this like beatdown band from Arizona or New Mexico? They're called Brute Squad. It's not very good. It was on Hate Peace Records. But maybe I might keep that one, though, because there's something about bad beatdown hardcore that for some reason it's enduring to me, unless one of my friends are in the band. If one of my friends are in the band, then I'm getting embarrassed for them. I don't want them to do it anymore. It makes me feel awkward to acknowledge it. But then there can be a band like X La Familia X out of Canada, which I don't understand. Is that maybe this French? Maybe, but I think it's Spanish. But it's not, anyway, its CD's called Game Over, and I don't think anybody else on this earth owns it except for me. And I think I'm going to keep that one too. Anyway, you hear this? I'm like a hoarder. I just keep saying I'm going to keep everything. But there's a couple, like Farside, that need to go. I don't need to listen to that anymore. I got one right here that I already put an X beside because I never listened to it. It's on my pile to listen to. It's from Fallen from the Sky. It's called Tonight We Radiate. It's on Eulogy Records. I have no idea what it sounds like. A lot of these were dollar bin CDs, and that's okay. Brain failure? No, brain failure is all right. Anyway, too much talk about random records, CDs. If you want to come over to my house and have them, you can't. Go to random Facebook merch groups where I'm unloading this shit and get it there. I've been unloading t-shirts lately, and that's a funny business, to sell t-shirts on the internet, because people get real entitled about that shit, and it's goofy. They want you to ship it immediately, and for the most part, I do. All right, I package them up, I ship them within a day or two, but people get pushy, and it's funny. And we're talking like $15 and an old ratty t-shirt, so you need to relax. All right, but if you want to buy my t-shirts, you can go do that too. Anyway. Enough of me trying to sell my junk to you. By the way, we're having a yard sale this Saturday. Please come on by. If you know me, No, you know, don't come by. Anyway, yeah, let's just get into the fucking conversation with Jim from Sick Bay and talk about their cool new record, Death's Cold Grip. First, let's listen to a track. It's the second track on that record. It's the one that I like the most. It's called Left to Mourn. Check this out and then listen to my conversation. What's up, Jim? How you doing?
Doing pretty good. No complaints.
None?
Well, I got a couple, but who gives a shit?
I thought so. I think we all got some shit we can complain about.
Yeah, for about an hour and a half, probably.
Right? Yeah, yeah, of course.
How you doing?
Good. Though it's Monday night, which is fine, you know. But I was doing shit, and then I kept moving. Did work, did some stuff after work. And then I sat down on the couch for like an hour and I started falling asleep. So, got to wake back up.
Yeah, I just got home and then did the whole dinner, running around, good stuff. And I was like shot, so I started pounding coffee. I'm like, I got to wake up a little bit.
Coffee would be a bad move for me right now, but this is true. It's been like about a year. I was looking. It's been about a year since we talked last time.
Yep.
And
yeah, it was
go ahead.
Last September or something, and the only reason I know that is because I knew we were going to do this, so I was going out of town last weekend, and my radio wasn't working in my truck.
Yeah.
My XM radio was screwed up. So I said, you know what, while I'm driving, let me put on, listen to the podcast that we did last time, just so I know what we talked about or whatever.
Yeah.
And I'm listening to it, and I was like, holy shit, I sound like I drank a bottle of Benadryl. I was like, I'm like, man, my brain misfires. I'm like, holy shit. I'm like, I'm pounding coffee.
Well, see, I have similar problems when I listen to old episodes, because sometimes, I should say, most times I record episodes, I'm drinking, but usually it's not a lot. Right now I'm having my second beer, but there's other times where I'll have had like six, and then I hear myself on the podcast, like, you know, later, like, oh shit, I was a little
back.
Yeah, I was a little slurry there. I had no idea. But we're not going to have that problem tonight, though.
No.
So,
well, maybe.
Yeah. No, I got someone stand by, but that's all right. But the reason we're talking this time around is much like the last time we were talking. You got a new record out, and which is quite a quick turnaround for anyway. We should mention. Hold on, we should kind of, for people who I'm sure there's new listeners since the last time you were on, and you yourself are Jim, and you're in sick bay. We didn't mention any of that yet.
Yes.
Yeah.
I am Jim in sick bay. Yes.
Yeah, and you play guitar, yep. Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. So sick bay is. I play guitar. Tommy Peluso sings and plays bass, and Joe Miranda plays drums.
Right, and you guys how long have you guys been around now?
Well, with this lineup since 2000. The end of it was like November 2017. Joe joined the band, so it's been going on 3 years.
All right, and since then you've had, I mean, with this next album or this album you just put out, you put out quite a bit of material for a core that's only been around for like 3 years.
Yeah, the first. We did EP 2018 with 6 songs. Last year we did an 8-song album. This year it was a 9-song album. So this year's album is called Death's Cold Grip.
Death's Cold Grip.
It just dropped Friday.
Yeah, it's only been out for a couple of days. This, by the time this airs, it's going to be this Friday, so it'll only be a week later. What's the feedback been for this record so far?
So far, good.
Yeah?
Good. The whole process was weird this time with all this COVID shit.
Yeah.
So there's no shows going on. So it's like trying to push it now is like kind of a weird place to be. But everybody that's heard it, we've got really good feedback. So, which is cool.
Yeah, no, it's good. And I hear you with the weird way to promote a record now. And I've had this conversation a lot with people lately. But you still have to do it, right? You still have to put it out. You can't just sit on everybody can't sit on their records.
Yeah, and a lot of people are sitting on stuff, and you know they're taking their time with it. And we're kind of like, well, first of all, we're nobody anyway, so we're just like,
right,
let's get it out.
Yeah.
What are we gonna wait for? Who knows how long you're waiting? So I kind of was. We're sort of back up. Originally, we were gonna record in April. So I had set shows up in July. This time we're gonna do it a little more organized. We're going to do a release show. So I scheduled shows in Poughkeepsie and Brooklyn and Connecticut. And I got Immortal Suffering to headline for us. So I had this whole thing kind of built up, ready to go. And then, you know, this happened. Yeah. So all that went away. And the whole recording process was pushed back and delayed. And as we were talking about, you know, when we were getting into the mixing phase, we started talking like, there's no sense in waiting. Let's just figure, you know, put it out. And we're kind of excited to get it out. It's a little different from our last album. It's a little heavier. So we're kind of, you know, we're anxious to see, I guess, what people think about it. So with no shows, I was like, well, hell, we're going to start promoting this. So I reached out to, we've actually done a couple spots, and we did the show last year with Cradium Radio.
Yeah.
Where they put out a live feed last October and broadcast a show. So that DJ this past Friday night did like a release party for us. So I played a bunch of the songs. I got on air, did an interview. I did an interview last week sometime on New York Metal Scene on Metal Messiah Radio. So I'm trying to figure out ways to, you know, with no shows to try and push it instead of just posting shit, because that doesn't always work well either, you know?
Yeah, and everybody's posting shit, you know, because that's all everybody can do.
Yeah.
And, I mean, but and right. this is the next step of things that everybody can do. But, like, you know, obviously you reached out to me, let me know this was coming, and then it was here. Like, you told me the album was coming, and then before I knew it, it was here. But I don't know if that sped up on your end. But either way, it's
a little bit. A little bit, yeah, because we were, like I said, we weren't sure when, how, what, and then at whatever point we said, fuck it. When it's, as soon as it's mastered, we have the artwork, we'll just put it out.
Right, so. Right. And yeah, I think it's a solid move. It seems like you handle, and I don't know, correct me if I'm wrong, but you handle a lot of the band business, right? Are you the heart and soul behind this band? Are you the one that keeps it moving?
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. I guess A, that's just my personality, and B, I'm just, Joe and Tom are like, I'm pretty laid back too, I guess.
Yeah.
But they're like really laid back, and whatever happens, happens. So I'm the pusher. I'm the...
I hear that. I get both of it, because I also call myself laid back, but that also means that I'm really lazy sometimes. So I don't...
Right. Like,
yeah.
I like doing all of it. So I like the whole process of the music, of the recording. I like the process of the artwork, all that stuff, you know, come up with content, come to the whole thing I enjoy doing. So I kind of do it, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Well, you mentioned that this record is a little bit different from your previous material, a little heavier. So what is different? Like, you know, for people who, the uninitiated, for Sick Bay, what was Sick Bay before and what is Sick Bay now? What's the biggest difference on this record?
I think just the writing of the songs evolved a little bit. I think, so like the first EP, Tommy and I tried out Joe to join the band. And like that night we wrote a song, and it just, everything kind of clicked and flowed. So we kind of quickly wrote six songs, went in, did a quick recording and got it out. And then we weren't, you know, once you do that, then you're like, well, maybe this riff, we should have done this, or maybe this song, we could have done this.
Sure.
But then right away we're like, we need to change the set, get new songs going. So we started, you know, writing immediately, trying to replace that. So the last album was that. Was us pushing, trying to change out what we would be playing, to have more options to play, and to kind of improve on what we were doing. This one, we did pretty good with the last album.
Yeah.
And so this one was more like focused on just, we're going to do what we want to do, like as we want to do it kind of deal.
Right, right.
So I think it came together a little bit different because of that.
Nice. Well, the thing that I noticed about, and I told you right away, is that it felt, and I meant it in a good way, is that this record feels slower. Though, when I go back and listen to Dissonance, it's not, the tempo is not all that different, but it just seems, I don't know if the weight of these songs just seems more, I don't know, it just seems heavier in a sense. And
yeah,
and it's,
and that's the goal. I mean, since I've been a kid, everything I do, I try to do heavier. So that's just the progression of trying to be, always trying to get heavier. We keep doing that.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Well, if you keep up this pace, you're not going to have much heavier to go.
But, right. And I don't ever know. You know, I got no common sense or anything. So, like, we're recording this, and I'm like, as I'm recording, and I'm thinking, and I hear it all the time too. So it takes the effect away a little bit, I guess.
Sure. Yeah.
And we were into the mixing spot of this whole process. And I said to Mike Usifer, who is recorded us and is the engineer, mixed, mastered everything. And I said to him, I don't know, you think this is heavy? He was like, yeah. I was like, oh, okay. And to me, it was like, oh, this could have been heavier. I don't know.
No, yeah, there's no mistaking that this is a very heavy metal record. And I think there's some things in your sound from before that I don't hear as much now, where I heard, I think it was on Dissonance, where I heard more, there was a little more, I could hear some hardcore in there a little bit, where on this I don't hear it as much.
Right. And I think that's just I don't know why that is, actually.
Oh, it's not it's not a bad thing.
Right. No, I think just the way we wrote these, the way the breakdowns kind of happened too, were a little different. So I think part of it too is Joe's gone a couple spots where you would have kind of broken down and had more of a hardcore two-step or something.
Yeah.
Joe's kind of like put some crazy drums into stuff too. So I think that kind of changes that kind of a feel of it too.
Right, right, yeah.
Which is good. I like.
Yeah.
I think he killed it with the drums.
Well, you guys all sound good. Particularly, I'm sorry, I forget his name, but the guy doing vocals. What's his name?
Tommy,
he sounded perfectly fine on the last record, but in this one, he sounds so much stronger. And I mean, maybe it's just me in my head, but to me, it's there, and he really sticks out. And yeah, I don't know. It's like you're supposed to, right? The evolution is obviously that you guys are going to be better on this record, but it really does sound like Dissonance done better, you know. And of course, that's the direction you want to head in. What's surprising is that it's only a year later, and you've already hit that step.
Yeah, well, we started. Last year was kind of, we were so busy. That part of the recording process last time was a little more hectic. Where this time we were a little more solid in what we were doing, because that's all we were focused on. Too. Right. Like last time we were playing so many shows that we were going in, setting up, doing a few tracks, breaking down, doing shows on the weekend, going back in, setting back up. And the last time it took a while. Every time you do that, you never get your tones back to where you had them. You never get things.
Yeah.
The way they were. So that's not a good way to do it, but that's just the way last year was. Where this year, we spent the time, right off the bat, getting the sounds that we wanted exact, and then not touching anything, not moving anything, not going near it. We're not breathing on this shit, you know. So this process was a little bit of that, helped towards things. I think we were, after being shut down for a while, and that maybe that's where Tommy's vocals are a little different too. I think we're all pent up, frustrated, and ready to break shit, you know? So I think we had written 6.5 songs basically before the shutdown. So we were ready to do 8 songs. So we had the 7th song pretty much written. And then I had some riffs for the 8th song, but we didn't even start to put it together. And then bam, all this shit happened. So we actually wrote the last 2 songs while we were quarantined, which was kind of weird, because we tried to record files and send it. That wasn't working. We tried to do Zoom shit. None of that worked. So we wound up just recording on our iPhones.
Yeah.
Sending it to each other, then playing it on an iPad, playing and recording the iPad and us playing, and then sending that back. So we kept layering iPhone recordings, sending them back and forth. Somehow we got the last 2 songs written. And so it was a weird way to do it, but it worked. And I think that those songs are probably pretty depressing.
Well, that's,
or angry or something.
That's pretty impressive to pull it off that way. And it sounds like then you guys have been taking the, or at least were taking the pandemic shit seriously.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And who knows what the hell any of it is anymore. It's like,
oh yeah. 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 I'm with you. We in my household took it pretty damn seriously for a while, especially because my wife's family was in Italy with, you know, when it was all happening. So we took it all pretty seriously for a while here, and I guess we still do, but I guess we still don't. I don't know, but
right.
but we're kind of on the same page. We don't know.
You get numb and lax a little bit. I think we're still trying to take precautions. I mean, the way I understood it in the beginning, the way it's kind of turned into is, my original thought was that we were going to shut everything down. We were going to take all the precautions to be safe and then kind of move forward. And we've done that, but we haven't, the moving forward part still is creeping.
Yeah. And I was looking at it, kind of ironic that, is it your most plays on Spotify is the pandemic song? No, not quite, but almost.
Yeah. That took off. Yeah. Scourge was, and it might still be. I haven't looked at it, but then pandemic started taking off. And I was like, I was joking. Like, we were starting to, because we always do the lyrics kind of after the songs are built.
Sure.
So we did a lot of lyrics pretty much during the shutdown. And so I was like, we better not write a song about like nuclear war or something, because
that's next. Yeah.
You know, we wrote pandemic last year. We want to write this year, and then fuck everything up or something.
Well, is there, so should you guys all write lyrics together?
Tommy usually writes the lyrics, but he always kind of procrastinates, I guess. I'm just trying to find a better word, but
hey, you tried.
So I usually have lyrics all over the place. Like I think of shit all the time and write it down. So then Tommy will kind of go as far until we get to a point and he's like, yeah, what do you got? So
yeah,
this one, you got 6 of the songs are his lyrics, and 3 of them are mine.
Oh. That's not bad, then.
Yeah, no.
With So you guys did all this recording on iPhones and iPads and all that shit, and then when you finally decided to actually go record, how hard was it to get into a studio with all this going on?
It was relatively easy. We Mike Hughes for Beacon Soundworks is who has recorded all three of these albums.
Yeah.
And over the past 7 years, I mean, we practiced here. We've gotten to be good friends. So it was kind of like when the shutdown happened, we were supposed to go right in. So we were kind of slated as the first once he opened back up.
I got you.
So the timing all kind of worked out well.
Good. And but you're self-releasing this, right? This is out on your own?
Yeah.
So you didn't, is it only digital?
We have, by the middle of next week, we'll have CD.
Okay, nice. So was your last record digital only, or do you have CDs for that too?
No, we have CDs for that too.
Okay, so you've been doing this stuff like each record by yourselves, right?
Yeah, yep.
Yeah.
So we release it through DistroKid.
Okay.
And that loads it into all the streaming services. And then I had to find a new place this year because the place I've used in the past went out of business. Mm-hmm. And they send you a template, and then you put all your album art into it, and then they print off the CDs. So that's delayed with all this COVID shit, of course. So
yeah.
They didn't get here before the release. So.
Yeah, but at least you know, I've talked about this a lot lately, though, is that I feel like I've been, and my wife would probably agree, that I've been buying more records now that I can't go to anything. Not that I go to a lot anymore these days, but you know, just I don't know. It seems like it's all you can do, and I mean, right. There's plenty of. It's easy to hop on and listen to it on Spotify. That's fine, but I do that forever, and then I find myself buying the record or the CD or whatever. I mean, last week, as far as mail, I got several vinyl records and a couple of CDs, and you know, I think somebody even sent a cassette. You know, and it's just I don't know. It's the physical medium is always fun to me to get.
Yeah, I like to have something in my hands too. Yeah. Like especially the first time I listen to something, I like to have it. You know, I don't know why. It's just a habit, I guess.
I have no idea. I've been moving. Today. I've been moving stuff from our storage unit back into our house because we're wrapping up this fucking long ass renovation that's been taking forever, but it's about done. So I'm moving my CD collection back into the house, and the CD collection doesn't get touched very much, you know. I kind of just I keep like the same 15 CDs in my car for the last 2 years, but I have this like CD collection of like thousands of them. Right. So I'm moving them back in, and like, why do I even have this? Like, you're questioning myself. Like, what is it? What the fuck? Well, I've been carrying this with me for years, and now I decide I've got to listen to all of them. I've got to listen to every single one, and then get rid of some, which is going to be tough to do.
Right,
but yeah, and then I'll add more, you know, because you got to make up for it.
Right.
So with this record, Death's Cold Grip, like you said, it came out October 9th. You guys released it yourself. You've been sitting on the songs for what would you say, like not quite a year, six of them at least. Would you have a favorite track on this one?
You know, I have a tough time kind of figuring out which tracks are my favorite because it like every step of the way I've been trying to figure out like what songs, like before, like 2 weeks before the release date, maybe two, I don't know, a couple of weeks before I started putting songs out, like making up simple little videos with them and posting them. And I listening to it, I keep listening to them and trying to figure out which ones I think are better or not better. And I can't really come to a determination. It changes constantly.
Yeah.
So Punishment of a Sick World, I think they are pretty good, but Where I Rot, like that still makes me want to break shit when I hear it. So I don't know. Everybody seems to be telling me that Left to Mourn.
Yep. That's where I was going.
The better song on the album.
That's the one I was going to say. But it's interesting. You say those other two, cause those are the last two tracks on the record, right? So it's a very rare spot to put the songs that you enjoy the most. Do you guys take sequencing seriously when you put this together?
Yeah, and usually try to put I do it two ways. The first way we kind of do things is the way we wrote them, because that's just kind of the way we practice them as we're going.
Yeah.
And so we recorded them that way. And then I kind of had an idea how I wanted to do it. I always like to have like whatever sounds like it would be an intro song to be an intro.
Yeah.
The first song. And like Nothing is the first song on the album, and that riff we actually wrote to be an intro. So I wrote the riff, we kind of played it. We were like, this would be cool to have an intro, and then played it, and it was like, well, this goes with that too. And then it kind of evolved into that song. So then that always was the first song. Once we wrote it, we were like, this is an intro song.
Right.
So, but I try to then put what I guess the best two songs that I think I would want to put, like, two and then last, which, thinking about it in the digital age, maybe isn't the right way to do it. And I was thinking this since we released it, but that way you start off strong and you end strong. It's kind of the way I think of it. But I guess nobody sits down and listens to an entire album anymore anyways.
Well, I do. And yeah. Maybe it's just people like you and I, but I was thinking about this the other day, and I forget, somebody else said it, and I totally agreed. Is like, and well, I never thought about it before. You had records, right? You had vinyl where you could skip around, but it was tough. You had cassettes, right, where same thing, it couldn't be exact. And then you got CDs, and then even when my whole life listening to CDs, I was never a shuffle button person. You know, I never wanted to. I wanted to hear the album.
Right.
I wanted to hear the album the way it's supposed to go. And even now, like, I make a playlist for the podcast that I just use to basically promote other people's shit, right? But I don't listen to playlists. I listen to full albums. That's the way I listen to music,
right,
is full records. And if I and I'll sit through like 30 seconds of silence at the end of the record just so it ends, and it's stupid, and it's totally ridiculous. But until the song actually ends, then it's not time to skip it. You know what I mean? Like, it needs to be over.
I know exactly where you're coming from. Years ago, a band I was in, Carve, in the 90s, we did that on purpose, and nobody ever caught it. So I know nobody ever did that. But we recorded a demo, and then we let a long time play. And like after 30 seconds, we put some, I don't remember what the hell it says, but it was something that some clip we grabbed out of a movie, and then it like went into feedback or something.
Yeah, yeah.
And like we never said anything to nobody. Nobody ever said anything to us. So we're like, yeah, nobody listened.
No, nobody hangs around. They just,
if they got to the last song, yeah, they shut it off.
Yeah. I swear.
It was a waste of time. Well, but it was an experiment that,
well, there was people that did much worse with that stuff. I mean, fuck, I remember, I forget what band it was, where they'd always have 99 tracks on all their CDs,
right,
and it'd just be nonsense, you know, for whatever, for 75 of them. But yeah.
Right.
I can say I'm glad people don't do that anymore, but I'll still listen to that 30 seconds of nothing. But
right.
So since you guys can't do, you know, the release shows, you can't do you can do this, what are you going to do now that the record's recorded, you got CDs coming in the mail, what do you do now with Sickbay?
We actually started writing again, so can't sit still. We're like, now we've practiced and played these songs, now we're like, okay, we don't need to like work on a set list or anything, so we started writing again.
That's true, and that makes sense. Like, what the fuck else? Why, you know, like,
what else are we gonna do?
Well, and who really knows? I mean, you guys are in New York, so I don't know what's New York like as far as the virus situation right now. Are you guys still heavy, or is it tapering off?
It had tapered off just about to nothing, and now in the city, it's starting to spike in certain spots. So like, we're kind of like, oh shit, is this a second wave coming, or is this just isolated shit in certain parts of the city? Like, so where we are, we're about an hour north of the city. It's still, numbers are very low.
Yeah.
But everything is still shut, like, which sucks. Like, so theaters, anything to do with entertainment, and the governor put into, like, is very confusing. It's like, that's part of the problem with this whole thing, is that the leadership has just sucked. So, like,
yeah,
national all the way down. And so the rule is, I guess, anything that you would have to sell a ticket to, you can't. Anything you would pay a cover for, you can't do it. So I guess certain places that have large capacities that have only a percentage of the capacity are allowed in it, but it has to be to eat, can have ambient music. But that's it. Like, so, I mean, everything's closed in the entertainment industry.
Oh, totally. So we got basically the same thing happening here in Pennsylvania. And it's very... Like, don't get me wrong. All right, I'm a pretty left leaning guy, but in our government's, mm-hmm, and our governor's very, very left too. But some of this shit I don't understand. the like the fucking curfew. Like you can't, a place can't be open past 10. Like why does the virus get worse at 10?
Right.
Like to
right. That's what.
How like, come you? How come you have to be like, eating? Well, if like why do you need to have a beer? You can't just have a beer. You have to have a beer and food. What the fuck does that have to do?
Yeah.
With coronavirus. You know, and the same thing you're right. saying, where you can't have any of these concerts. What are you talking? Yeah, I'm a little perplexed on this whole thing.
Yeah, and part of it's my, I mean, I have an anti-establishment grain in my system, I guess. But like, yeah. I just seeing things through a different lens, I guess. So there's no capacity at churches and certain things. So outdoors, you can have up to 50 people for a wedding, but you can't have a funeral. I mean, there's like so many stupid things. And like you just said, what does coronavirus know anything about weddings, funerals, whether it's eating, drinking? Yeah. I mean, so like nowhere did anybody come up with a set of rules that made sense and applied to everything. They just kind of, you know, I mean, the shitty part and the serious part of it is, you know, outside of the entertainment part, is that there's a lot of people losing a lot of businesses, a lot of people. It's like there's a section of the country that didn't get affected, and then there's a section of the country that got devastated from it. So it's kind of a really weird thing, you know?
Yeah, and it so doesn't help that everybody's an expert.
They're like, oh, this is fake.
Yeah.
You know, because it didn't affect them, so they don't think, you know. So you talk to somebody that did affect, where they lost their business or they lost somebody they cared about, then it's not so fake anymore, you know. So.
Yeah, but unfortunately, even if it affects your business, it doesn't matter if you think it's fake because you're not in control of that, you know. When this whole thing started going down, I've backtracked on what I was saying before. Initially, I was saying it didn't affect me in any negative way, so I feel like I don't get to have an opinion on it, which I realize that was just some kind of like cop out. It was just me, you know. What like who gives a shit,
right?
But I don't know, and I still don't know where I'm at on it, but I don't know, but I'm at least admitting that I don't know where I'm at on it now, because I don't fucking know. But I'd like for it all to be right. over, other than the fact that I've really enjoyed not having to go to work. I'm still working, but I haven't had to go to work. So
right,
yeah.
And I have my own construction company, so when the shutdown first happened, I was like, oh, fuck, you know, because I can't collect unemployment. The SBA loans, I'm too little of a setup to get SBA money.
Yeah.
So, like, which baffled me because, like, the Small Business Association. Yeah. So for a while I was sitting here like, I'm just going to burn through my credit cards and my savings and be in trouble.
Yeah.
But luckily I had enough. I laid the guys off. I had enough work after about 6 weeks that started to trickle in. So I could start paying my bills again and stuff. And I have done okay, you know. But it's like, when it first happened, I said to my wife, "said we're going to be in serious trouble here." Like,
yeah,
something's got to happen.
Well, good. I'm glad you were able to work that out. And the construction thing came into effect with us too. Like I said, we've been doing this big renovation at my house. And we're talking like building on top of our garage, all new roofing, all new siding, all new insulation, all new windows. Like literally, the whole house got redone. And it's basically just been one guy, and we had to wait several months to get started until they said he could, you know what I mean? That's the funny thing, is like, so he could come work at our house by himself. We had to wait several months,
right?
Like until that was, because
yep.
I guess coronavirus didn't care anymore. So,
right.
Yeah. But anyway, we got way off track. So let's get back to some
no doubt.
Let's get back to some sick bay stuff.
So the flow of the album was, we kind of rearranged the songs thinking of the flow of, like, if this song ends, how's this song start, kind of, that's kind of how it got arranged.
Yeah, yeah. Sorry, did I cut you off?
Sorry, I might have cut you off.
Oh, no, whatever, we're good. So, so you're going to start writing, I know what I want to ask. So, but if right now, if you could play a show, would you play a show? Like, for all the frustration behind everything, do you still feel like it's a good idea or not?
I don't know. I guess I'm on the fence about it. This is a big problem with everything right now. If people did what they were supposed to, I would say, yeah, hell yeah, let's do it, you know?
Right.
But you can't trust that everybody's going to do what they're supposed to, you know? So, I don't know. I would say yes. Probably I'd have a tough time saying no. But I guess that depends if the numbers start climbing too. Like, right now with it non-existent. But then I guess that's like, if you think the whole process through, maybe that's not a good idea because maybe that makes the number spike. So, I mean, who the hell knows? But we are dying to play. So I was thinking if something opened up, we would probably play.
Well, I think that's an interesting, it's like an interesting little catch-22 with everybody who's in a band right now, but also trying to be careful. But, you know, it kind of puts everybody in the situation to try to make that determination whether it'd be a good idea or not. And it's funny when you actually have to do it, if it is. And that's why people were doing all these live streams. Did you guys do anything like that?
No, we tried to, but we were trying to do it at the Chance of Poughkeepsie, and they weren't too hip on doing it, so it kind of never came to fruition. But we're thinking about the lineup that we had set for these shows, doing that as a live broadcast, and it didn't. And they're all struggling, so they're all stressed out too.
Yeah,
you know,
it's fun times for everybody, right?
Yeah. And a lot of these clubs are. There's a lot of clubs closing, so.
Yeah, my local club that I've been going to since I was, I mean, I didn't live here my whole life, actually, not even close, but I moved back here, and this is mm-hmm. Lancaster, Pennsylvania, and the Chameleon Club, which is very close to my house, is like the first like real venue that I would go to when I was a kid. I would drive there by myself when I was 16, and that just closed due to all this. And that's a huge bummer. Right. And it's like a place that we even had, like me and my friends had like this love-hate relationship with when we were kids, because we were always getting thrown out and beat up by the bouncers. So we hated it. But then like as we got older, we loved it because it was a venue nearby. And now it's closed and it sucks. I've seen everybody in there, you know? Lancaster, Pennsylvania, it's not a big city. But it got a lot of really good tourists because of this venue. And now it's gone, and that's that really does blow.
Right. So you wonder, like, after all this, are people going to come back in and step into a void that's empty, or is it just going to be the way it is? It's such a strange, you know, you don't know about anything, I guess.
Yeah. Well, then I start wondering, like, what the hell do you? I don't know. I don't know how it's beneficial for the landlord or whatever to just shut things down. I don't know. That's all over my head. But yeah, it's a bummer either way.
Yeah, no doubt.
All right, so let's do some last things here with Sick Bay. Sick Bay, Death's Cold Grip, came out October 9th. There's going to be a physical release of CD. Where can people get that?
I'm in the process of setting up a Big Cartel page.
Okay.
And we're going to list it on our Bandcamp, and we'll put the links on our social media sites. I just got back the shirts today, so that's why I'm going to get it set up and get them loaded up on. So we got the shirts, I think, are pretty cool.
Yeah.
The guy that we have do our cover art, he did the last album, and he did this one, did a sick job. It's pretty cool.
I meant to ask that. I can see the similarities between the artwork on the last two records. Is this a friend of yours?
Yeah. He's a guy I went to high school with him, actually, and he was a drummer in a band called Dissolve.
Oh, right. We talked about Dissolve last time. Caveman of the Future.
Yep.
Yeah.
So that recording forward is a different drummer. Kevin left before that. His name's Kevin Rivers. He's a tattoo guy. He's a good artist. He's a good drummer too. So he did this, but he was kind of screwed up because he took a trip to Hawaii in March, and then the shutdown happened. He got stuck out there.
That sounds kind of awesome.
And then he decided that that's a good place to get stuck.
Yeah.
But so it was kind of weird getting the artwork from him this time because he's not here. So, but we figured it all out. So
nice.
He did it, and the t-shirt actually looks pretty. It looks cool on t-shirt. I like it. So we have that, and we have we did t-shirts that we never did for the last album too. So we have two new t-shirts, and then our CDs and everything. We're going into the Big Cartel and on Bandcamp.
Awesome. Well, we'll put the links. We'll put the links in all the stuff that I put out there for this. And it's available. The Death's Cold Grip is and the previous records they're available on like most of the streaming sites, right? I know it's definitely on Spotify. That's where I've been listening at.
Yep, Spotify, iTunes, Amazon. It's on like 18 different things. It's on YouTube, and it's on all kinds of things. Sometime when I'm bored, I'll have to figure out what hell all that shit is. But there's like some of the names that I can't even pronounce. I'm like looking at the list going, I don't even know what this is. I've never heard of anybody say this before. But it goes on to like 18 services.
Dude, I hear you with that stuff.
There's pretty much anywhere you search.
And that's something you said, like and I think it's similar with like podcast stuff. You set it up once and then it's kind of just, it does its own thing. And And yeah, and I don't know how it'll, I don't know where this shit goes either. It's just out there.
Yeah, no idea. And I know, so like when I load all the material, the distro kid loads it in all the streaming services, and then Bandcamp, Reverb Nation, and SoundCloud. Like then you have to go to their sites individually and load everything in. So. Well, I guess they're not tied to the distribution companies.
No, probably not. They probably have their own shit going on. But it's worth it, and I'm glad you guys got it out. And I think it was a good move, like I said, to release it now. It's a strong record. Really good follow up to Dissonance. Glad to hear you guys are starting the writing process again already. Because if you can follow 3 years in a row with three strong records like this, but I think now you have to next one has to be. 10 songs, you gotta have to bring it up a song.
Yeah, I guess we'll have to go to 10. Yeah. Yeah, we'll have to kick it up next, go to 10. Which we already got the guts to like 3, I think. So
all you need is like a little intro. All you just need like an intro riff and then, a sample. And that's
we'll do like an outro.
Yeah, there you go. An intro and outro. And you're in.
We'll get our 10. Yeah, I guess the first CD was actually 7 because there is an intro, so there was 6 songs plus an intro. So I guess we are going in
a, you gotta go 10
in a pattern. So we can't go too long.
No, you'll
mess we're up. Actually right. We're kind of thinking about doing on this one. We're kind of thinking about doing almost like a double album and have live tracks on it from our other stuff.
Yeah,
but then we kind of got go with the idea. We're like, who do we think we are, anyways? Who gives a shit about what shit we did? So there's a club that we play in New York City that we get tracks right out of the board.
Yeah.
So we have some pretty good live tracks that are just ready to be mixed
throw them on a bonus reissue of when you reissue all your stuff, bonus. There you go.
When I'm like 120.
Yeah. Hey, better later than never.
Right, right.
All right, Jim. Well, fucking thanks for doing this again. We'll try to get the word out here about this one, and good talking to you again. And let's make it. Let's do it again next year.
Yeah, no doubt, man.
All right, brother. Take care.
All right. Yeah. Thanks a lot.
Yep. Bye.
Later.
The end is begun. The blackness overcomes. Silence turns to pain. Victim, I enslaved. The challenge, suffering, no disgrace. Like a ruin, they don't turn. Where it will end, eternal doom awaits my path. The world of vengeance, sacred chat. The devil's errand, I will ignore. We'll be right back.
has been and my soul. The head of this illusion, my resolve shall arise to grip the light within its eyes. It is over, I can rest. Where I run, it will end.
There you have it. That was my conversation with Jim, and the song there at the end was Where I Rot, also off of Death's Cold Grip. Go listen to it now everywhere. Go buy a CD when they're available. Go buy a t-shirt immediately. Do something, preferably as soon as possible. Anyway, I want to thank Jim for coming on and having another chat. He's a good guest. I like talking to him. I like his band. A lot slower this time around, as I said. Maybe I'm mistaken, but that was pretty slow and heavy, wasn't it? Yeah, it was, especially that those two songs. Where I Rot it sounds unsettling, and that's the way it's supposed to sound, I think. And that's okay with me, because I like music like that. And yes, that means there's something wrong with me, but that means there's probably something wrong with you too, so try not to judge, all right? So, hey, that's going to be it for this week. I can tell you with confidence that the gettingitout.net website is actually under construction. It is actually being built now. Not stuff's been written. Stuff has been written for months and months and months. It's all outdated by now. But the actual site is being built, and that's good news. And I can't wait to see what comes of it. And hopefully you can't wait either. I'm sure I will hit you with it, so don't worry. You'll hear about it. Until then, go to @getting_it_out_podcast. Check out what we got going on there. Not a whole lot. We're going to roll out some giveaways. I can tell you that for sure. When this website goes up, there will be giveaways. I have been amassing a box, a Tupperware container full of records. They just added like four more four LPs. What did I just say there? Four more full length LPs in there last week. A couple of CDs, plenty of stickers, those sorts of things. You know, lots of stuff to give away when I can figure out a good way to do it. Maybe it's just the way I got ideas. I can't share them with you right now. But what I can share with you right now is that next week's episode. Well, I don't know what next week's episode is, but I can tell you got a couple coming up that I'm really excited about. You know what? I can't share any of that stuff with you. I shouldn't. It was better back when I didn't, but maybe I will. I don't know. I'm just indecisive, and that's just part of my problem with everything. But yeah, whatever. You deal with it. You'll do fine. You can handle it. All right. So anyway, that's going to be it for this one. Go to the Facebook page, facebook.com/gettingitoutpodcast. Go to Twitter @gettingitoutpod and Instagram @getting_it_out_podcast. And as I said, gettingitout.net very soon. Until then, I'm going to leave you with a song from Deeds of Flesh. It's their first song in a while, I believe. I don't think this band's been doing shit lately. What's this one called? It's spelled weird, but I believe it's supposed to be Alien Scourge. And it's coming out on their new record. That record's called Nucleus, and it's going to be out on Unique Leader December 11th. So you got time. You got plenty of time for that. And the vinyl doesn't even come until January 15th of 2021. What if I said 2022? You'd be like, who cares? Nobody's going to remember. But it's 2021. That's you can hold on for that. 2021. Wow, that's right around the corner. Anyway, it's their first new music in 7 years or something like that. So check it out. Deeds of Flesh, Alien Scourge. Thank you for listening. Please subscribe, rate, review, all that good stuff. That's it. Bye-bye.
Let it fall.